In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. And today we also commemorate all the Holy Fathers of the Ecumenical Councils. And it's still kind of the first six Ecumenical Councils, because this feast is so ancient that the seventh Council had not yet happened. So, but the spirit of it was to really just, you know, go back and commemorate all those great councils. And the first council was held in the year approximately 325 in the city of Nicaea, and that's where we get the Nicene Creed from. And, you know, each council dealt with pretty much a major heresy that would have really undermined our Christian faith. And so fortunately, by God's grace and through the prayers of these Holy Fathers, they preserved the faith and the truth of the faith so that we have inherited it now today. So we owe them a great debt of gratitude for those Holy Fathers who stood up for the truth. And in today's gospel, this is from Matthew, but the same gospel or the same story is recounted in the Gospel of Mark. And if you'll remember, that's the one where they broke the tiles off the roof and let the guy down through the tiles. And that's a great example for us, because you could see how much his friends cared about him, that they were willing to go to all that trouble to climb up on the roof and, you know, lower him down, you know, because they knew that his friend could be healed. And St. Theophylact says that in order to show that the man was paralyzed because of his sins, Jesus first forgives those sins so that the cause of his paralysis would be healed. But the scribes, all they could see was that who does this guy think he is, forgiving sins? Only God can forgive sins. And so, and of course, Jesus forgives the man's sins and tells him to take up his bed and walk. And we might kind of wonder, well, how could they overlook such a great miracle and just, you know, fixate on this one particular point about the forgiveness of sins? And again, St. Theophylact says, perhaps they were thinking thoughts like these. Look at this deceiver. He declined to heal the body, which is visible, saying, thy sins be forgiven thee. Certainly, were he able, he would heal the body rather than pretend to do something that cannot be seen. So they're kind of thinking Jesus was sort of faking it, which is ridiculous, because he just healed the man, and obviously the man could walk now all of a sudden. But the Savior shows them that he is able to do both, saying, which is easier, to heal the soul or the body? Certainly, it is easier to heal the body, but you think just the opposite. So I will heal the body, which is in fact easy, although it seems difficult to you. And he tells the paralytic to rise and take up thy bed, to confirm that the miracle was not some kind of fantasy, and also to show that he had not only healed him, but had filled him with strength. And the Lord does that oftentimes. Like when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, he said, give her something to eat. You know, that way they would kind of know that she really was raised from the dead. It wasn't just some kind of magic trick that he was doing or something. And St. Theophylact goes on and he says, the Lord also does the same with our spiritual sicknesses. He not only delivers us from our sins, but also fills us with strength to do his commandments. I too am a paralytic, for the powers of my soul are inert and will not move to do good. But how can I be brought to Jesus if they make an opening in the roof? And what is the roof? It is my mind, which overarches all that is within me. And it is a roof made of many earthen and clay tiles, in other words, signifying earthly affairs. But if all these things are pulled away, and the strength of the mind within us is opened up and freed of the weight of earthly things, then I will be lowered, that is, I will be humbled. For I ought not to rise up and cry because my mind has been freed of its earthly covering. But instead, after I have been unburdened of earthly things, I ought to be lowered, that is, humbled. Then I will be healed, and I will take up my bed, which is my body, and employ it to do thy commandments. For I should not only be raised up from sin and understand that I sin, but I should also be able to take up my bed, that is, get my body up and set it to do good. Then we shall also be able to see with spiritual eyes, so that our thoughts within us can say, we never saw it on this fashion, which means we never understood until now that we were paralytics and have been healed. Only he who has been cleansed of sins sees things as they truly are. So here St. Theophylact sees in this gospel an image of prayer, an image of repentance, an image of humility, and an image of spiritual healing. And it seems that these scribes were spiritually paralyzed, that their minds were so fixed upon earthly affairs that they were unable to perceive that God was standing right in front of them. And they evidently were more concerned with being correct than they were with their brother's welfare, who was now forgiven of his sins and healed of his paralysis. And we have to admit that sometimes we are similar to those scribes in that we get weighed down also with earthly concerns and get distracted, and sometimes we don't always see the truth. Well, during each divine liturgy, we sing the cherubic hymn. And one of the verses in the cherubic hymn says, "Let us who mystically represent the cherubim and chant the thrice holy hymn to the life-giving Trinity, now lay aside all earthly cares, that we may receive the King of all, who comes invisibly upborne by the angelic hosts." But it's difficult not to think about earthly cares, isn't it? You know, if you would just sit quietly sometime and just try to concentrate, like in prayer, watch how your thoughts distract you. All of a sudden you're thinking, okay, I'm going to pray now. And he's, okay. So he start to focus. And then, oh, darn, I forgot. I have to pick up something from the grocery store. Oh, you know, it's so-and-so's birthday next week. I better get a present or birthday card. You know, and so we start thinking. Pretty soon, we're not praying anymore. We're thinking about all these things. In a book on the spiritual life called The Arena by St. Ignatius Brianchaninov, he writes, "Prayer requires the inseparable presence and cooperation of the attention. With attention, prayer becomes the inalienable property of the person praying. With attention, it bears abundant fruit. Without attention, it produces thorns and thistles." So in other words, when we focus our attention and really pray, you know, consciously and without those distractions, then we're really praying fully. But when we're constantly getting distracted, then in a sense those become our prayers, you know, thinking about all the visits to the grocery store we have to do, or the laundry that didn't get done, or all those things. So then we're not really praying. One Holy Father compared our minds, our rational minds, to a wagon load of monkeys, where our thoughts are always going astray, you know, and we have to keep collecting them. And it's, I'm certain that you've been to the zoo at one time or another, and you see the monkeys. They usually are not just sitting around quietly, you know, they're just running all over the place. You know, one's got a banana, and the other one wants to get his banana, and they're just, you know, swinging from the trapezes, and they're just constantly going all day long. That's how, kind of how our thoughts are sometimes. St. John Climacus, in his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, says, "If the mind, on account of its newness to the work of prayer, gets out of its enclosure in the words, it must be led back into them again. The mind in its fallen state is naturally unstable and inclined to wander everywhere. But God can give it stability and will do so in his own time in return for perseverance and patience in the practice of prayer." So that's a good thing. One time St. Nikolai Vlimirovich was visiting a monastery, and he was having a conversation with one of the nuns there, and they were talking about the Jesus prayer. And you know, the nun said, "Well, you know, Your Grace, I say the Jesus prayer, you know, thousands of times a day. You know, I mean, it's no big deal for me to say the Jesus prayer." And St. Nikolai could kind of perceive that she wasn't quite doing it without distraction. So he said, "Well, let me offer you a challenge. Next time you go to say the Jesus prayer, see how many you can say before your mind starts to wander off and think about other things." And she said, "That's no problem at all." Now, 3 days later, he ran into her again, and he said, "Did you try the little experiment that I suggested?" And she said, "Yes, I found it hard to say even 10 of them without getting distracted." So it's not easy, but it's worth trying, you know. So all you have to do is when you are praying and you find that you're getting distracted, then stop and then start again, you know, and then just keep doing that. And eventually you sort of train your mind to have attention. And so we can see a powerful metaphor in this account of the healing of the paralytic and how we can become spiritually paralyzed by our own sinful words and deeds and thoughts, and how the constant distractions of our minds by the cares of this world must be disrupted and broken up in order to establish an opening for us to receive forgiveness of our sins and healing of our souls, hearts, minds, and bodies. So let us, brothers and sisters, pray for one another and help one another as much as we can, for this is pleasing to God. And may our Lord Jesus Christ have mercy upon us and help us that we too may be whole. Glory be to our God.